James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and we'll read verses 19 through 25. James 1, 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I have a title to this of how to fortify your faith, how to fortify your faith or build up your faith. How we respond to truth will determine how we are able to respond to trials and temptations that come in our life. You know, how we respond to truth. And I hope through this message you'll get to understand what I mean by that, because we don't always respond to the truth the way we should. Sometimes, unfortunately, we reject it or we're slow to receive it. And it affects us. It affects how we respond to trials and temptations. James tells us in these verses, first of all, in verse 19, he says that we need to be swift to hear. What he's saying is we have to have a readiness to hear the word of God. You know, we don't always have that. We have to prepare our hearts. I think before we come to church or before we have our own individual Bible study in the home or our own time, I think the first thing we have to do is pray. I think we should always pray. And I know, because I've done this myself, it can be distracting. It seems like sometimes, you know, I'll try to have some quiet time with the Lord and somebody's knocking at the door or the phone. You just have to sometimes put those things away. Silence your phone, you know, go into a quiet place and prepare to receive that truth. I think there's a preparedness to that. We have to prepare our hearts to it. We have to pray. We have to, as best we can, put off distraction of the world so that we can receive that truth. In Romans chapter 10, you know, how we hear has a direct effect on our faith. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? How we hear, we hear. Well, you know, when we're having a conversation with somebody, a lot of times, are we listening? And I'm guilty of this myself. Are we listening to respond, or are we listening to hear what they're saying? You know, we're not always listening with the right frame of mind to the Word of God or to others. You know, I'm guilty of this too. You're sitting there and you're just waiting on them, waiting on a little break so you can say something back. But does that mean that you've really heard what they said, or are you just waiting to get what you want to say out? We have to slow down sometimes and really listen to what that person's saying so we can understand. Just same way with the Word of God. You know, sometimes we have to slow down and listen and be open to the Holy Spirit guiding us in the Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We fortify our faith by hearing the word of God. To have faith, we have to hear the word. We're saved through the preaching of the word, the scripture tells us. We have to be open to hearing that. We have to have the right mindset, the right readiness to hear the word of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. You know, we have to be attuned to that. We have to be listening to the Word of God. We have to be open to that, open to receiving it, to what it says to us. Sometimes we don't like it. Truth can hurt. You know, we know that the Word is a double-edged sword. It can cut straight to your heart. But we have to accept that. We have to be ready to hear that. The source of what we're ready to hear has a lot to do with whether our faith will fail or be fortified. Are we, don't take me the wrong way on this, you know, are we listening to Reader's Digest or Revelation? Now, I've got nothing against reading Reader's Digest. I've got nothing against, I like to read for pleasure. I like to read books for just straight pleasure sometimes. And I like to read behind other men who have studied the Bible. You know, I love to read behind Spurgeon. I love to read behind a lot of these other men and hear what they say. It's a blessing to me. But our primary source as Christians always has to be the Word of God. You know, we're all fallible. I'm fallible. Spurgeon was a man. He was fallible. You know, I think he was great and right on a lot of things, but Spurgeon is not the Bible. The Bible's the Bible. Nothing wrong. Again, like I say, don't take me, nothing wrong with reading secondary things. But our faith will be increased the most, I think, when we go to the Word of God and make those things secondary. We have to go to His Word over and over again. You know, it's funny. I know Brother David's talked about this, and I have too, depending upon what's going on in your life. You may have read something in the Word, and you read over it, and you think, oh, yeah, that sounds good. And I've had this happen to me. And then another time you read it, and you're like, wow, man, wow, that really speaks to me in this situation. Never really noticed that before. But that's how the Word of God is. You know, the Holy Spirit can use maybe that passage that you read doesn't really apply to your life at that time. But then you go and you flip open your Bible, and you're seeking answers, or you're having trouble, and you say, you know, God, please guide me, help me. And you open and you start reading, and man, it just hits you. And you're like, man, I know I've read that before, but wow, it really speaks to my heart in this situation. That's how the Holy Spirit can use His Word to help us. He can use that Word to fortify our faith. In John chapter 17 and verse 20, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me, how? Through their word. I was not alive when Christ was on the earth. You know, I was not alive at that time. I'm only 55 years old. So how do I know about Jesus? How do I know these things? Through their word. Whose word? The words of the apostles. The words of the men who wrote the Bible. They wrote down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know, all scripture is God-breathed. They wrote these things down that we might have them. We have something that's never existed before. In the Old Testament, they had some prophecies. They had, you know, the books of Moses and things like that. But we have the complete canon of scripture, the complete Word of God. And praise God for that. That is our help. That is our testimony of the things that happened. Those things that these men wrote under the inspiration. How we hear the word says a lot about our faith and our fellowship with God. Like I said, are we open to it, even though it may cut us? Are we open to receiving that? You know, sometimes the dross has to be removed to refine the gold. If you know anything about gold refining, you heat that gold up and that dross floats to the top, and they scrape that off and they make gold more and more pure. That's the way I think that the Holy Spirit does us, through the reading of the Word. The more we get into the Word, the better we'll be. It may hurt for a little while, but in the long run, it's to help us. It's to make us more pure, more refined. So we have to be willing to receive those things. I'm interested in truth. I want to know truth. Sometimes that hurts. Sometimes I've had to change my opinions and my beliefs because of this right here. But that's okay. That's a good thing, because it's getting rid of that dross. Now, no, I'm not going to be perfect in this body, in this life, but I do believe for Christians there's a refining process where we can refine and do better. We should always be growing as Christians. We should not be stagnant. I know that's not easy. I'm up here preaching to myself as much as I am to anybody else, believe me. If you've never done a message, it's very convicting to yourself. But we all need to do better. We all can do better to be more refined, to be closer to God through His Word. Like I said, how we hear that shows, I think, our faith. You know, I've talked to people who are Christians. I believe they're Christians, and sometimes I've told them something that might be a little hard to receive in the flesh. Are they open to receiving it, or do they reject it? Do they get defensive? Do we get defensive? You know? Or are we willing to receive that? If a brother or sister comes to us in love and says, hey, look, we talk about so-and-so, I noticed something, maybe you got an issue here. You know, I'm here for you. Let me pray with you, pray for you. But, you know, I noticed I've seen your car at the bar a lot here lately. You know, something going on, you know, do we need to talk? How do we receive that? You know, we know David was called a man after God's own heart, but what did he do with Bathsheba? When the prophet came to him and told him the story about the little lamb, you know, David said, oh, that's terrible. Nathan said, David, you're that man. How did David receive that? Immediately, he was cut in his heart. You know, he was enlightened. Oh, he's talking about me. I've sinned. David received that. He repented in sackcloth and ashes. Now, it still cost him the life of that first child, but he was willing to receive that. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, John said. He who is not of God does not hear us. If we are of God, we hear the things in this word. People who are not, they don't receive it. You know, a person can not be saved and can read the Bible and can study the Bible and learn things. They can have a head knowledge of the Word of God, and that's fine. But they won't have that heart knowledge until the Holy Spirit gets involved. That's when the Word of God becomes real to us, becomes living to us, is when we're saved and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. It changes how we perceive the Word of God, and I think it gives us a greater understanding, of course, of the Word of God. It's one thing to have that head knowledge, but something different to have that heart knowledge. Jesus said back in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall what? Hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, Jesus is not walking the earth right now, so how do we hear him? Right here in the Word of God. That's how we hear his voice. We have it written down for us. Jesus said his sheep would hear his voice. Our readiness to hear will reflect a right relationship with God. If we have a readiness to hear what thus saith the Lord in his word, then I believe that shows we have a right relationship with him. Now, I put down that there are basically three kinds of listeners. Like I said, there are those who are slow to hear. These listeners can hear sermon after sermon and, you know, never give a second thought to what they've heard, never act upon that. I believe that can apply to unbelievers, but also to believers as well. You know, sometimes, like I said, Christians need to be careful. We get stagnant. You know, we all like to get in our little comfort zone, and we don't want to move out of that. It's hard. We had service last Wednesday. We went to Mary Ross Park. Brother David spoke to us out there, and I told him, I was honest. I said, Brother David, I said, you know, I'm an introvert at heart. I said, this is a little difficult for me to be out here. I had to get out of my comfort zone. You know, it was uncomfortable for me. I'd rather be sitting right here in a pew. But that's not what God says. God says, go out and preach. So that's what we were trying to do. And he said, that's fine. He said, brother, he said, I'll speak. He said, but I appreciate your support, you being here, you know. So for me, what might be, now my wife is not like that, I can tell you. She can talk to anybody, you know. She'd be talking to everybody out there. And I'd just be sitting in my chair, you know, because we're different. Everybody's different. But we have to get out of our comfort zone sometimes. You know, just like I can sit there, maybe she would want to be up doing something, and on the opposite side, she has to learn to sit still and listen and be, you know, listening to those things. And I have to learn to move and get out and speak to other people. So we have to put that word into action. We have to put it into action. We can't be slow to hear. We have to act. Now, you know, the sad part is someday, of course, people will regret that they weren't ready to hear the word. Lost people will regret at the great white throne of judgment. But I think, you know, like I said, as Christians, we may regret that we didn't do more. That we didn't do more. I saw, I like to listen to R.C. Sproul sometimes. You know, he recently passed away, and I saw a little video clip, and they asked him, you know, he was on oxygen, had the tube and everything, and they said, you know, you're about to go on. We all know it's coming. What would your advice be to younger people? And he said, don't wait. Don't wait. Get, in other words, get out and get busy doing the Lord's work. He said, I wasted so much time on other things. You know, this was his personal conviction. He said, I wasted so much time on other things when I should have been about more about God's work, about his business. Moses said that God would raise up another prophet like him. And he said that in this prophet, you'll hear all things, whatever he says to you. Now, who was he talking about? He was talking about Jesus in Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, what's he ultimately talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Those who don't hear him, those who don't receive him, will ultimately be destroyed. We know that. They'll be cast into hell. So we have to be listening to what the Father said. We have to be listening to what the Son says and the Spirit says through his word. What did I read earlier? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to be listening for that. The second type of listener are those who are selective. You know, there's a joke between husband and wives, you know, for years that, you know, the wife says, you know, well, my husband hears what he wants to hear. You know, he's got selective hearing. You know, he hears things, but he hears what he wants to hear. But, and sometimes there's some truth to that, but a lot of times it's meant, you know, as a joke. But we have to be careful as Christians that we don't get selective hearing. You know, all of us here probably have some favorite book of the Bible, favorite passage of the Bible. That's great. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to what we might call the hard things of Scripture, do we listen to those? Do we read those? Like I said, it can cut us deep. It can hurt. But that hurt through Christ eventually heals when we accept the truth, when we receive that truth. So we have to not be selective in what we hear. We have to, and even sometimes on a subconscious level, I put down, you know, we're selective. We might read something and say, yeah, that's the word of God. I believe that. And then we go on and do we put it into practice? You know, does it change us in a way that maybe we need to be changed in our heart? You know, we all do this. We all listen for what is important to us. Okay. I know Gail was talking about sports, and some of us like sports, some of us don't. You know, I like baseball, I like college football, but if you start talking about golf, I'm honestly going to kind of tune you out. You know, it's not my thing. I don't care that you like it, but it's not my thing. It's not interesting to me. So I'm still going to try to listen and interact with you, but, you know, you're not reaching what I like. You know, you're not talking about what I like, things I like. But, you know, my wife can tell you, I said I'm an introvert, but now if you hit a subject I like, you know, I'll talk about it a lot because I enjoy it, because it matters to me. We should all be that way as Christians about the Word of God, but we should all be listening, not just for those things in here that are, if you understand what I'm saying, important to us at that time, but for the whole of the Scripture, the whole of the Scripture. Those things that sometimes might prick us. Maybe we've got a sin that we're struggling with, And we get to a point in scripture that deals with that. We're like, ooh, that kind of, let me turn a few pages over here. You know, I don't want to read that right now. It happens, right? It happens. But we can't do that. We shouldn't do that. We've got to be willing to receive those things. God wants each of us to be listeners who are seeking the truth. And I put that as my third class of listener, the kind of listener who's seeking the truth. Are we that kind of listener? Like I said, I want to know the truth, even if it hurts sometimes. When it comes to the Word of God, I want to know the truth. Now, I'll never know it all in this life. I won't. But I want to know the truth. I want to know what's true. And sometimes it hurts because it hits at my sins or things I'm doing I shouldn't be doing, things I'm not doing I should be doing. But still, I want to know that truth. I ask God, show me your truth, because that's the real truth. I get so aggravated at people who say, well, I'm living my truth. You got to live your truth. I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense to me. Because if it's true, I mean, I get what they're saying, but if it's true for me, it's true for you. 2 + 2 = 4 for me and for you. You know, I watched that movie, Hidden Figures, about the ladies who did the math behind the scenes to put John Glenn in orbit and bring him home safely. That lady, you know, there were no computers at that time to do all this. They did this, a lot of it by hand. It's amazing to me what they accomplished without computers. Yet they were able to do it. Why? Because they trusted the math. They knew that math was true. It's true. Same way with the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Now, I understand we all have different circumstances. We were raised different way, different parents, maybe different areas of the country, different countries. But God's Word is true for the whole world, no matter where you're at. It's true for me. It's true for somebody in Japan. It's true for somebody who was raised with abusive parents or somebody who's raised with great godly parents. It's still the truth. We have to be willing to accept that and receive that. In Acts chapter 10, we need to be like Cornelius. He was one who received the truth. He was a listener seeking the truth. What happened in Acts chapter 10 and verse 30? And Cornelius said, he's relaying to Peter what happened. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the 9th hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. And what did Cornelius do in verse 33? Immediately, the Bible says, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius didn't hesitate. Cornelius didn't say, well, I went fishing. You know, well, I went to the market. Well, I went to work. No. Immediately, I sent for you. This is what I've been praying for, Cornelius was saying. This is what I've been asking for. So immediately I sent, and now we're all here gathered, Peter, and we want to hear the truth. We want to hear what God has to say through you. We're here gathered. We're ready. We should be like that. We should be like Cornelius. We should immediately do what God tells us, but we should be ready. He says, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Christians, we should be that way. We should be ready to hear all things commanded of God. The characteristics of a good listener are, you must be awake. When I say awake, you've got to be, you know, not sleepy, not dozing off. You have to be awake. You have to be alert. You have to be in tune. You have to be interested. You have to be ready, as Cornelius was, to avail yourself of the opportunity. When the opportunity came, when that one in white appeared before him or in bright clothing, Cornelius says, immediately, Peter, I sent for you. And we're here and we're ready to hear it. If we are ever going to fortify our faith, We must first be ready to hear and be seeking the truth. We have to be ready to hear. Now, the second point I had in fortifying our faith is we have to remove that which hinders. We have to, you know, it can be a hard thing, a difficult thing, but we can have hindrances. He said in verse 21 that I read, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls." What did he say? He said, lay apart all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. That word filthiness there means that which defiles. The word superfluity means abundance. And naughtiness is wickedness. So you could say it like this in our modern English, wherefore lay apart all wickedness and abundance, wherefore lay apart all that which defiles, which is sin, lay apart all that which defiles, an abundance of wickedness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word. You know, it's of little help if we're ready to hear, but we have our ears plugged up. You know, we say we're ready to hear, but we have our ears plugged up. How do we have our ears plugged up? James says, wickedness, sin in our life. That can interfere with us hearing the word of God. You know, the Bible talks about people having their conscience seared like by a hot iron. You know, if we're knee deep in sin, are we necessarily ready to hear the truth? Are we necessarily ready to hear these things of the word of God? No. That's why he's telling us we need to lay those things aside. James, I believe, is speaking to Christians in this. You know, sometimes we have sin left over from our past and it still follows us. And just because we're Christians does not mean we stop sinning. We still sin as long as we're in this flesh, in this body. And we have to ask for forgiveness for those things. And we have to, as much as we can, strive against those things. Put off those things. You know, if you're tempted to be a drunkard, don't go to the bar. If you're tempted by drugs, don't hang around those people. Don't go to those areas. If you're tempted by pornography, don't look at that stuff. And I know in our society, that's very difficult. You can be just as innocent sitting there, you know, watching a program about home improvement and get hit with it. This right here, we all know. They throw it at you because they know it sells. You know, you can be out in society. You can go to Walmart. You know, I hate to say it, and the way men, I'm not just picking on ladies, men and women dress sometimes. You can be tempted by that. People don't like to hear that, but I believe it's the truth. You know, we have to be careful. We have to guard what we put before our eyes, whatever kind of sin it might be. Those are just three that I just picked out at random, but whatever that sin might be, we have to be careful about those things. Don't let those things become a hindrance to us fortifying our faith and receiving and hearing the word of God. You know, sometimes our repentance is not as complete as it should be. I was talking to Brother David one day, you know, and I said, sin's pleasurable. Let's be honest, it's pleasurable or we wouldn't do it. You know, the person who likes to drink, they get pleasure out of that or they wouldn't do it. The person who does the drugs, they get pleasure. Or whatever your sin might be, there's pleasure in it for a season. But when we reap that fruit, it's not pleasurable. So we have to fully repent. We have to be open to releasing those things. Not try to hold on. Well, I won't go to the bar anymore. I'll just drink at home. You know, I won't be as tempted to drink as much. No, that's not full repentance. We have to, you know, of course, ask God to help us to fight against those things, to get rid of those things if at all possible. Brother David talked about this a little while back. I'm not going to turn there, but in Matthew 5:29, it says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. We have to be willing to cut things out of our lives that hinder us as Christians, that hinder us from the Word. Sometimes it's people that we have to cut out of our lives. Sometimes it's family we have to cut out of our lives. But we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get those things out of our lives. In Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." See, that's the same thing he's saying there. Let's lay aside those weights. Let's lay aside that sin which we all know easily besets us, that we might run. If you and I go to run a race, and I hand you a backpack with 50 pounds in it and say, "You got to wear this." You go, "Well, that's not fair. You're giving me 50 extra pounds." But that's kind of how sin is in our walk with God. You know, sometimes that extra weight, that sin pulls us back and holds us back from fully receiving that truth and from fortifying our faith. We have to be willing to take that off, to lay it aside, to give it up. James says, same thing that I read you there. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness." Lay it apart. Like, think of it like someone taking off a garment or a coat. You got on a heavy coat. You take it off. Lay it aside. There in verse 21, he says, lay apart that filthiness. Now, how does it start? Well, of course, it starts with our obedience to the gospel. You know, you have to hear the gospel, be obedient to it, receive Christ, be saved. We know that as a Christian. And then secondly, it requires our ongoing attention, as I've been saying. You know, we have to get out of our comfort zone. Hey, I'll tell you, I work a full-time job, and sometimes I come home and I'm tired. I really am. And I think, man, I just, you know, want to watch some TV or just want to have something to eat, take a bath and go to bed, you know, but what am I giving up in doing that? You know, shouldn't I take some time for the Lord to pray, maybe read scripture a little bit, study? You know, we have to fight that old man. You know, Paul talks about running that race. We get tired in running a race, but we have to keep going. You know, what did they tell you when you're training in a marathon? You know, you have to push past that point of tiredness. Sure, you're going to get tired, but you have to push past it. Same way in our Christian walk, we have to push past it. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 8, it says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." How do we renew that knowledge? Read the Word of God. You know, read the Word of God. Read it over and over. You want to absorb it? Read it over and over. I've heard people say, and I have problems with this sometimes too, they say, "Well, I can't memorize." You read it enough, it'll get in there. And if you read it, I've had this happen, the Holy Spirit can bring it to your remembrance, but you've got to put it in. You're not going to go to witness to somebody and just miraculously, you know, a scripture you've never read come out of your brain. That's not going to happen. But if you've read and studied, the Holy Spirit can use that and can draw that out of you and call it to your remembrance, because you have read it and you have studied it. Now, my third point is we have to receive the Word in our hearts. Like I said, a lot of people can have a head knowledge, but they may not have a heart knowledge of the Word of God. In order for the Word to affect us, it must be implanted in us. That's what James said there in that verse 21 when he said, "And receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls." That ingrafted word there. That means that implanted word. It's been implanted in you, in your heart. It becomes a permanent fixture within us. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Well, how do we hide it in our heart? We read it, study it, pray. Ask God to help us with that. If the word is only on the surface of us, it can never have the kind of influence that Christianity calls for. You know, the parable of the sower, it talks about the four seeds, and, you know, most of them didn't last. Some of them weren't planted deep. When the sun came up, they got scorched. Some of them, Satan came and stole away. But when the word is planted in a good and an honest heart of study, it yields a crop. You know, when that word is implanted in us, when we have the right attitude, we receive it with the right attitude, then it yields a crop. It yields fruit. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We need to have a hunger for the Word of God. Not just a casual acceptance or a casual reading of it, but we need to have a true hunger for it. We have to have an eagerness. I found this one writer put, he said, we have to have an attitude of eagerness anticipation. I like that. I'm sorry, I forgot to put who said it, but we have to have an attitude of eagerness anticipation. Eagerly anticipating. Are you excited about going to church? Or you think, man, I got to go to church this morning. Man, I got to go to church. You know, I'm tired. I don't want to get out of bed. No, you don't have to go, but you should want to go. You should want to have that fellowship with other believers. Like I said, you come home from work, you're tired or whatever, and you say, man, I don't want to do my studies. I don't want to read tonight, you know. But that's not the attitude we should have. We should have that eagerness of participation. Lord, what do you have for me today? Lord, what do you have for me in the church service? You know, what do you have for me? Pray before you go. Pray before you study. Lord, give me something. You know, speak to me, Lord. Help me to grow. Help me to fortify my faith, as I said in my title. Acts 17:11. I bet we're all familiar with this passage. With these people, Acts 17:11. Well, let me just read verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They had a readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. See, they didn't just take Paul's word for it. Don't just take my word for it because I'm up here. Have that readiness of mind and search those things to see whether they be so. There's a lot of bad preaching out there. A lot. I'm just being honest. There's a lot of bad preaching. When I say bad preaching, I mean, you know, people not teaching the truth. Men not proclaiming the truth. Proclaiming false doctrine. Some on purpose, some just out of ignorance. You know, you turn on the TV and it seems all you hear with a lot of these, you know, well-known pastors is prosperity gospel. That's not word of God, you know. That is, they live in there. And I'm not against people having things. Abraham had things. Job, you know, had things. But where's your focus at? You know, this guy's on TV saying, sow your seed of faith to me so he can pay for his $10 million mansion in his private jet, you know. Sorry, no, not listening to that garbage. Teach me the deeper things of the Word of God. Jesus, if that's what it was about, then how come the Scripture says Jesus had nowhere to lay his head? You know, he didn't even own a home when he was here. If it was all about prosperity, would he have not had the biggest house in Jerusalem as an example to us? But he didn't. Now, as again, I said, if God blesses you and that's not your focus and he gives you those things, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's your attitude towards it, your attitude towards Scripture. Jesus taught that we ought to have a hunger and thirst for the things of God. And in addition to this hunger, we need an attitude of humility or meekness or that word to work on us and in us. You know, sometimes there may be something that we've believed our whole life that's not true. Like I said, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. We may believe something that was not right. We were in error in it, out of ignorance or whatever. But, you know, I see people post on Facebook. I understand they're grieving and why they do this, but when somebody dies, they say, oh, you know, my daddy's now my guardian angel. I told my kids, don't you put that on there. That's not true. It's not true, folks. I'm not an angel. I'm not going to become an angel when I die. Angels are a separate creation. Angels don't have blessings we have. The Bible talks about angels being in services to learn of these things. I'm not going to get a harp and wings when I die. You know, and I'm sorry. Of course, I would never say that to someone who's grieving, but it's not true, folks. It's simply not true. We need to believe the truth and know the truth. And it may seem like a petty thing, but I think it's important because it goes again to the heart of the truth and to what happens to us when we die. You know, we're not going to sit around on clouds strumming harps. I'm not going to be a guardian angel. We have to receive that word in our hearts with an attitude of submission, humility, and meekness. And that can be a hard thing to do. We have to pray and ask God to help us. Remember Naaman. Let's turn here in 2 Kings. I think this is a really good example here. And I was looking at this again last night when I was studying 2 Kings chapter 5. Now remember, Naaman was a man who had leprosy. And in verse 1 in chapter 5 it says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He had a problem. He was a leper. And he sought healing. And verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She was an attendant to Naaman's wife. She had been captive, yet she was still true to God. How? Because, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Notice she didn't say maybe. She said he would heal him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord. Somebody overheard that, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Hey, I overheard this maid telling your wife that there's this prophet that could heal you. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. See, he thought he was talking to him. The king of Israel thought he was supposed to heal the man of the leprosy, so he gets scared. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Elisha said, king, basically, you know, where's your faith? Why are you getting upset? Why did you tear your clothes? Send him to me. Send him to me, and he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now, picture this. Here's this man coming with all this silver, with all this gold, with all these fine clothes. I imagine, I don't think it was two or three people. It's probably a great host of people. Probably what we would say, a sight to behold. You know, this great man, this mighty man of valor has come up with all these beasts carrying all this stuff. But what does Elisha do? Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee,
and thou shalt be clean.
Elisha didn't even go out to greet him. You know, we would probably be shaking in our shoes to see something like that pulling up to our house, you know. Like, what in the world? You know, we go out, oh, bow, want to bow down to him, you know. Elisha sent a messenger. Elisha didn't even go out to greet him. He didn't have to. But what happened when he did that? Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. See, Naaman was offended that he didn't come out. And stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman thought, here I come with this great host. With all these gifts I'm bringing this man, all this gold and silver. Surely he'll come out to me and heal me right then and there. He'll strike his rod over me or speak and heal me right then and there. But that's not what Elisha did. Elisha sent a messenger, said, go bathe in the Jordan seven times and you'll be clean. That offended Naaman. He was not ready to receive it. See, he said he wanted to be healed, but he really wasn't ready to receive it. He didn't do like Cornelius and immediately go. No, he got offended by it. That's how we are sometimes with the Word of God, aren't we, when we hear it? He got offended by it. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was mad. We got cleaner rivers where I come from. He wants me to bathe in this filthy Jordan. He was mad because it didn't go the way he thought. He wasn't ready to receive that truth. But his servants had some wisdom. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? You know, if the prophet said, go climb this high mountain and do so and so, wouldn't he have done it? Sure. How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? He just told you something simple to do. If he had given you this great task, you know, slay these mighty beasts, climb this high mountain, would you have not done it? Sure. But he's just giving you something simple. Why won't you do that? Why won't you do it? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. How about that? When he was obedient, he received healing. When he was obedient to the word of God through Elisha, he received that healing that he sought. Said his flesh was like to a little child. Sure, we've all had little children. We say, man, their skin's so smooth and soft and feels so good. That's how his flesh was. The leprosy was gone when he was obedient to it. We should not be like Naaman in the beginning of this story and fly into a rage when we get something from the Word of God that, you know, maybe pricks our heart that we don't like. Some people have the attitude of, well, I already know that, or that doesn't apply to me. You know, that scripture doesn't apply to me. Well, without the right attitude, we may fail to recognize the word for what it is. It is the word of God. I'm sure Naaman, after he did that, was glad he had some servants who had wisdom and come to him and said, you know, Captain, why won't you do what this man of God told you to do? Try it. Give it a try, you know, as we would say. And he did, and he was healed. We need to be careful how we receive the Word of God. Are our hearts open to it? Even if it makes us uncomfortable. Even if it's not the way we thought it should be. You know, many times I've prayed for something, and I've prayed for a certain outcome, and got a different outcome. Sometimes I didn't like that outcome, I'll be honest with you. But I have to trust in a loving and all-knowing God that He's doing what's best for me. This side of heaven, I may never know why it went that way. Sometimes later on down the road, we may find out and say, oh, you know what? The Lord was looking out for me. You know, I prayed that this woman would be my wife, or I prayed that this man would be my husband, and God didn't give them to me. And down the road, you meet him and you say, thank God he didn't answer that prayer. You know, I mean, let's be honest, we do that sometimes. You know, God knows what's best for us, and God loves us as his children. Aren't we the same way with our kids? You know, we say, no, you can't go play in the road. You know, well, Daddy, my ball's out there. I'll get it. You stay here. You know, they don't see the danger in it. Daddy, why can't I do this? Or why can't I do that? Why can't I hang out with this group of people? Because Daddy or Mama sees and knows that group of people is not good for you. You don't understand those things as a child. And as we are God's children, sometimes we don't understand, but we have to trust in Him. We have to be willing to receive those things. My final point, we have to respond to what God has said. Verse 22 in James, he said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You may hear the word. You may even have it in your heart. But until you act on it, your faith will not increase, I believe. You have to act upon it. Like I said, it was a little difficult, if I'm being honest, a little difficult for me to go out there and sit out in the open with Brother David preaching. That was out of my comfort zone. But hopefully, you know, God uses that to teach me. It's okay. You know, nothing bad happened to you. You're fine. That's what I've called y'all to do is to go out in whatever way it is. I'm not saying that you have to do that, but whatever your calling is from God. The Beatitudes describe characteristics of a disciple who is blessed, but these are powerless if not possessed. You know, we have to possess those things in our heart. Just like I said, you can have a head knowledge about salvation, but until the Holy Spirit works in your heart and you receive Christ, it's not going to mean the same to you. We have to be willing to act upon the things that we hear, the things that are in the Word of God. Sometimes we sit back, you know, and we're waiting, well, God, if you want me to do that, you're going to have to move me, you know, or you're going to have to. That's not the right attitude. Is that what Cornelius? Cornelius was hungry for the truth. He was hungry for the Word of God. And when God spoke to him, immediately he sent for Paul. And he gathered everybody together and said, "We're here to hear, to listen to you, to hear what thus saith the Lord." He acted upon it. Naaman rejected it at first. He could have gone home and not been healed. But he had those servants that said, "Why don't you just do what he said? Just give it a try." And he got healed. We can't always sit back and wait on God. God tells us in here to go. God tells us certain things. We have to be willing to apply these things in our life and do them. Forgetful hearers do not fortify their faith. Often they will fail the test when tempted. You know, if we just skim over this Word of God, we can say, "Yeah, I read it." And, you know, sometimes I get that's all we have time to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying we can't stop there. We have to have deeper study. You know, we have to go deeper into it sometimes. Sometimes it's fine to sit there and just read the Word of God. That's good. I do that too. But sometimes we should also take time to stop and study some of those things. One of my favorite things to do is I have Bible app on my phone. I used to do this with Brother Greg, he's a member here that passed away. He and I used to talk about it. I'll take a word and do a search in my Bible for that word, forgiveness. Type forgiveness in your Bible app and just read all the scriptures about that word. You'd be amazed what you can learn doing that. You know, just doing something simple like that. Just type that word in and just read all the scriptures that talk about forgiveness. How something like that can be a blessing to you. So, we need to apply these principles in our life. And we have to follow them until we're called home as best as we can. I know, you know, not some people have ailments and diseases and things, can't do what others do. I understand that. But they can still study. They can still pray. They can still study the Word of God. And they can help in the ways that they can help. You know, we shouldn't neglect that. If we want to fortify our faith, it takes work from us. We have to be willing to put in that work, and we have to be willing to receive those things as well. Like I said, the hard things sometimes, the things that we don't like, we have to be willing to put off that sin, fight against that sin, that we might have a closer relationship with God, a deeper relationship with Him. I'll close with this in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, as long as we're alive, we've got to keep growing. We've got to keep growing. We need to keep studying. We should never say, "I've done enough." You know, "Oh, I used to witness years ago. I don't need to go out and do all that witnessing now. Oh, I studied the Bible for years. I don't need to make a habit of studying it now." You know, no. I don't care if you're in your 80s, if you're in your hundreds. You know, there's still something there for you. There's still something there for you to learn. There's still reminders in the Word of God for us. You know, we all go through trials and tribulations, temptations, like I mentioned. It's good to be reminded of these things. Sometimes we forget. It's good to be reminded. It's good to read those scriptures over and over and have that remembrance and put those things in our heart. I pray that some of this has been a blessing to you. Let's close in prayer.